This is the second part of a two-part interview. We're talking this morning with Linda Bauer-Dar, a member of the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition and president and CEO of the American Council of Engineering Companies, in our second part of this series on infrastructure and what can we do to convince Congress to put some money behind fixing our transportation. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Russ.
Now, what we're talking about today is obviously we're talking with you're a member of the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition, and it's no secret to anyone, our listeners or anyone else, that the transportation infrastructure in this country needs some attention.
The transportation infrastructure in this country is becoming an embarrassment for this country. It needs attention. Not only because it's an embarrassment, because it's becoming a hindrance to safety, a hindrance to quality of life, and, you know, finally, it's not positioning us economically for continued success and growth, and that's really where we want to be.
And I think that's a good point, because when we think about the economic productivity of America, and if we look back over the past, even the past century, it was our transportation infrastructure that made us so productive.
Absolutely. The Eisenhower Interstate Highway System, and, you know, by connecting states within the Union to one another in a way that was, you know, meaningful and efficient, and, you know, traffic could move quickly, it changed the dynamics of, you know, our growth curve and what we were able to achieve in this country. And, you know, we're in a phase now where we've got the challenge of not only maintaining what was built before, but also building to facilitate movement of all those people and companies and, you know, operations that didn't exist 50-some years ago. I mean, we are a rapidly growing country. One of the statistics I'll share with you is that air travel congestion is expected to grow 50% in the next 20 years. And anybody that's an air traveler now knows that it's already pretty chaotic. But we're not making that investment. We're not investing in airports. We're not investing in waterways, clean water facilities, wastewater facilities, roads and bridges, critical roads and bridges. That we have crumbling infrastructure. They cost the average driver in the neighborhood of $600 in vehicle damage every year, just in vehicle damage every year, not to mention the lost time. You know, in our area, the congestion is just, you know, I think we're on the top five now. It's, you know, the economy's great, but how long can we sustain this when people are stuck in their cars and, you know, not the places they need to be?
Yeah, and it's kind of a spiral, and in each of those factors kind of feeds into the other. The congestion takes time. We're losing productivity. It's time is money, obviously, and it takes money to fix roads and fix transportation in general.
Absolutely, but you know it is the investment that pays off. The benefits of the investment are really clear. Every dollar spent investing in infrastructure delivers nearly $4 in economic activity. So that's a 4-to-1 ratio, right? So that's a good deal. And it's a deal that we need to make now. We have found ourselves in a position now where in our country, the greatest country in the world, almost a quarter of the bridges are structurally deficient. And that's very bad news, and frankly, that's frightening news. And we shouldn't be in this place.
And it is kind of hard to take. It's hard to believe, true, but hard to believe that in this country, like you said, the greatest country in the world, that our infrastructure has become. You know, I don't know if it's reached. You know, if in some areas, I can tell you in some areas it has reached a third world level. I can think of some streets right here in the town where we live in Hillsdale, that have gotten to the point where they just ground down the pavement and turned it back into a dirt road, and this is a street in the city because things have gotten so tough. Now, I will say locally, our local government has done some things to start bringing that around, but the can was kicked down the road so far that it's going to be a long time before our infrastructure right here just in the city of Hillsdale is back to where it needs to be. And that kind of, to me, is kind of a microcosm of what you and I are talking about nationwide, mm-hmm. in the fact that the longer we wait, things, it's not going to get cheaper to fix things. It's not going to get cheaper to build and add on. So the longer we wait to make that investment, the investment needs to be made, and it's not going to go away.
Right. You know, Russ, you just made an excellent point. You know, I mean, we took two steps forward with that paved road, and then, you know, already we're in a position where we're taking a step back, and you've got a gravel road where a paved road once existed. It really is hard to believe. But that is the position that we found ourselves in, and you know, frankly, it has to do with politics. I don't think anybody, there's not a lot of people out there disputing that congestion, that infrastructure is critical to the nation's success and to our mobility and to our, you know, the welfare of society. Nobody's really objecting to that. It's just a matter of how are we going to pay for this? And when it comes down to the possibility of, heaven forbid, you know, we add a few cents to the gas tax that you pay at the pump, it becomes this political hot button. And it doesn't need to be. The states have stepped in the last 5 years. I think 30-some states have enacted legislation that has provided funding at the state level for transportation, most of which is coming through some form of a tax at the pump. So these members of Congress, their constituents, do have the stomach for it. They see the need. And frankly, with the dramatic fluctuation in the price of gas in the last few years, we've shown that, you know, we've got the capacity to absorb that. If we can absorb a dollar in fluctuation because of what's going on in the market, surely we can afford a few cents.
Michigan is one of the states where that gas tax has been a debate. Now, it was just a couple of years ago that Michigan went through and made some changes in vehicle registration. There were some changes in the tax at the pump, and a couple of other things that took place, and that money was slated to go toward road funding. And now, again, our new governor is talking about, new as of last year, is talking about a possible 45-cent hike at the gas pump. So that kind of hits home here, because that's a hot-button topic here Michigan. But the point is, at some point, that investment has to be made. And like you said, there's no dispute that it
mm-hmm.
it must be done.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, first of all, we are watching that 45-cent, or I guess it's near 45-cent, proposal in Michigan. There's a lot of states that are keeping an eye on that and trying to figure out where that's going to go, because that's a big change. It could result in tremendous investment opportunities, but it will be interesting to see how Michigan goes on that. You have 847 engineering firms in Michigan. So, you know, you are well positioned to take care of the needs once the money's on the table. You know, our engineering firms focus a lot on building smart infrastructure, building sustainable infrastructure. And one of the things I tell people on the Hill is that, you know, the engineers, I think, are going to need to be more involved in the process now than ever, because we need to build infrastructure that lasts. We need to build infrastructure that sustains the challenges that we're seeing, frankly, with climate change and, you know, natural disasters happening seem to be on a more regular basis. It's not your grandfather's infrastructure, right? We need to build a new kind of infrastructure, and engineers know how to do that.
Yeah, in 2019, we should definitely not be building roads like they were built in 1955. You know?
No, we should not.
Now, I guess before we close out, Linda, what I'd like to ask is what can our listeners do? I know there's as a group, as a collective, we can make change. What can our listeners do to kind of help this situation along?
Well, I'll tell you, we have 1,000 engineers on the Hill this week that are doing what I hope your listeners will do, which is speak to their members of Congress and tell them that we need some leadership on this issue. Tell them that it's okay that we'll have your back. We will support you. We need to see the leadership, and somebody needs to take the first step, because otherwise it's going to be this drawn-out standoff of, you know, who's, it's like a game of chicken, you know, who's going to be willing to say, okay, I'll go in for 3 cents if you will, or, you know, whatever the total will be. There is a website that I could refer your listeners to, fasterbettersafer.org, which is a great resource for, you know, talking points and information and background. And it really is just a quick call to your member of Congress. They log all these calls. You know, you might not always get to speak to the member, but you speak to the staffers, and those staffers report directly to the member about what the priority issues are coming in on the call line. So it doesn't take long, and we would urge your listeners to just pick up the phone and get that done. Get that one task done for the day that's going to pay off, you know, for years in the future if we get this thing done.
Make the call, because, like you said, they log those calls, but also our representative in Congress, our representative in the House, rather, tends to, he makes visits to Hillsdale County once a month. If you happen to run into him in person, you know, besides making that call, put the bug in his ear and say, hey, here's what we're concerned about. What can we do to make this happen? Linda Bauer-Dar of the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition and President and CEO of the American Council of Engineering Companies, we appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for joining us, and thank you for the information.
It's been my pleasure, Russ. Thank you.